As we've started the book of Colossians, it's a rich book, a very rich book. And that can be said true of every book that we go through here, but it certainly seems to be a richness that God has for us as a body of believers here at Christian Fellowship. And I know the elders are saturated in our lives with it. And you can immerse yourself into the scriptures and read it over and over and over and over again without it begin to have an impact on your life. And I believe I can say for all the elders, we want God to change us. We want God to change us and conform us to the image of Jesus. We don't know necessarily what that looks like. It may be that we look the same on the outside, but God wants to change us on the inside and then let that be transforming to our lives on the outside so that others would see Christ in us. And so as you pray for us and we pray for you, pray that God would really get a hold of us in ways that would just change us. Just change us. It would be so good. We're just starting the book, so if you've... You say, oh man, how long have we been it? We're just starting it. And so we've only been it. I'm actually, I think, speaking the third message. And we'll see what all that God has in store for our lives, even today. I want to thank you for praying for Chris and I, who had the privilege of being over in Ireland for 2 weeks. I have to confess to you that there were some concerns and even a little bit of fears that I had because of things you read and things you think of and, you know, things that you read. And somebody had made a comment that make sure you take toilet paper over there with you because they don't have any toilet paper. And so you read those kinds of things. And then you also you read, don't drink the water and all these things. And so for a man, for me, I'm thinking about protection. I'm thinking about all this kind of stuff. And even in a sense, you know, you don't want your passports to get ripped off and, you know, you don't have to deal with all that, you know. And so before we went, and there's just some apprehension, some concerns. And again, driving, I drove, and opposite side, I drove a stick, left hand. I'm not going to say it's a piece of cake, but if you know how to drive a stick, you can do it. But I can tell you, if you do go there, and I would encourage as many who could go over there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. We drove all the way around the whole island. We were at the very top north at one night, and we were not at the very southern part, but pretty close, as southern as you could get. And we saw things. It was like just seeing the hand of the Lord and His handiwork. It's beautiful. The people are kind. They're gracious. They're cordial. It was a good trip for Chris and I. Only two times did I get frustrated and ask myself, what am I doing? Am I crazy? And it all had to do with the driving. And so as we're there, and just praying through the whole thing and meditating on this message, but praying, because this message this morning is about prayer. And God changed both of us. And my wife confessed to me one time, she got frustrated with me and said, what in the world am I doing bringing my husband over here? Because she knew I was going dragging my feet. Okay. God changed that. I would go back again. That's how God changed my heart. So it's interesting because the roads over there are two-car roads. But many roads, only one car is getting down there. And so our first day as I'm driving, I go down, and we're getting ready to go down this lane, and I'm thinking, oh, this is fascinating. It's a one-way lane. And so I get 50 to 100 yards down the road, and all of a sudden a car's coming this way. I'm thinking, whoa, one of us is in the wrong. It's probably me because I'm the American, you know. And they flash the light, and I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm past the age of playing chicken, okay? So I'm not kidding. These thoughts are going through my mind. And so I back up, you know, and again, doing a lot of stuff on the opposite side. So I back up, get them. And well, they had flasher lights. And I thought, okay, either they're flashing the light and tell me I'm in the wrong. I don't know. Again, we're talking about real freshness on the Highland. And so I back up, they come. As they came, they waved at me, and I thought, okay, I didn't see anything wrong. He's not doing this and angry and stuff. And so I went, only to find out later on that the flashing light means go ahead and come on. I'll wait for you, which is wonderful. Many roads are like that. Many. I mean, Chris could touch out, she could reach her hand out the window and touch the hedge or the solid walls of rock that we drove next to. And so she's got the GPS, and the GPS is always slow over there. It says turn left, so all of a sudden turn left is turn left and I'm going high. It's really... Anyways, thank you so much for praying. We had a wonderful time, a delightful time. Chris took over 2,000 pictures. I've got close to 1,000 pictures on my phone. We had the privilege of being in one of the most beautiful gardens in the world. The National Geographic said it's the third most beautiful garden in the world. I love flowers. I love flowers. So if you ever get a chance, I'd encourage you to go. Prayer. I appreciate what Tom shared last week, and if you picked up on that, he talked about at the start of Colossians chapter 1 how love motivated Paul to begin to even write this book, but he love motivates him to pray for those at Colossae, the brothers and sisters in Christ there at Colossae. And love has got to be bathed in our lives for us even to enter into prayer for anything. Love should be the motivation that would cause us to even pray and cry out to the Lord and to know Him. And so we've got to look at this whole book through the heart that Paul had for the brothers and sisters, the believers there at Colossae, because if we can get a glimpse of looking through his heart, I think there will be a deeper understanding for us, but also that God might begin to change our lives, because this letter is for us as well. It's for today. It's relevant. It's real. It's right. It's holy, and it's good. So as we try to go forward as believers to mature in Jesus, there's some things in here that God would like us to see, and yet we don't necessarily don't see it. And I think Paul prays for the Colossians here in verses 9 through 14 that some of the things that have already taken place in their lives, though they can't see it. And really, when you have come to Jesus Christ and He is your Lord and Savior, He has already placed you in a position that you don't sometimes won't even feel like it's a reality to you. There is so much going on up in the heavens that God's at work that we can't even see. And yet it's the heart of our Father who wants us to begin to see things by faith and trust Him, to know that He's at work. So with that being said, let's turn our Bibles over to Colossians chapter 1, if we would. We're going to read the first 14 verses, and then I'm just going to share some things with you of what God has shown me, but also hopefully to challenge us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. I'm going to stop right there just for 1 second. Epaphras, God changed him. And in God changing him, he came to Christ. In his maturing and his growing, he took that back to a place where he was born and raised, in some sense that he wanted what God did in his life to begin to share that with others, which we all have that responsibility to be a testimony, to share Christ, to make him known. And yet there's trials, there's some challenges, some things, wrong thinking that begin to come through. And Epaphras then goes to Paul, which motivates Paul to write this letter, to not only to give instructions, but also to correct some wrong thinking and wrong living, and yet to encourage that body in such a way so that they can get their lives aligned with the Lord and Christ, so that their lives would walk in a way that would be worthy unto him, all pleasing. So Epaphras isn't coming over to Paul to tattletale. He's coming to seek wisdom. He's coming to seek understanding in some sense of, we're faced with this. And if you go back a couple messages ago with Ken, he lays out very clearly some of the challenges, the asceticism, the Gnosticism, the resistance, or it's Christ and the flesh, or it's Christ and the created things. And here in the next couple chapters, we'll see it's Jesus and only Jesus. So verse 9, and so, Paul says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that you've preserved these words for so long. And you've given us eyes to be able to read these pages of Scripture. We ask that, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to understand. Lord, we just look to you because we need your help. We need your provision. We need your guidance. We need your direction. We need your Holy Spirit to make this alive in us. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would do that. I pray that you'd change us. I pray that you'd give us a heart in such a way that would be able to not only identify with these scriptures, but Lord, we would be living examples. We would be ones who would walk worthy to that which we've been called, but also pleasing to you and pleasing to those around us. Grateful for your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you for your kindness in allowing us to read and hear these words. We pray that you'll bless our time this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just kind of break this down, the prayer, verses 9 through 14. And then next week, Scott will begin to pour out some very good truths and rich truths to us. And I would say that the trembling, because we're going to be talking about some things that You may think that we fully understand these things, but God is teaching us. He's bringing us to place to a better understanding, but we haven't arrived. And so some of the things that I'm going to share with you this morning, I would love to tell you I have mastered in my life, but I'm growing, and I like the direction Jesus has taken me. I like what he's doing inside of me. I like what he's doing in changing my heart, even this whole area of prayer. So with that being said, we see, the whole heart of Paul in this prayer, in some sense, that he's not stopped praying. He's a praying man. When you look at when Paul first comes to Christ, and you see that he has set himself aside for a period of time, when we don't know, we can speculate what took place during that time, but I have to believe he gave himself to prayer. And I say that because you see the ones who led him to Christ were praying people. And when we look at the life of Jesus, of all the times that he would get away and go and pray, he'd get himself alone and began to seek the Lord. When he went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, he took three of the people to get away with him to pray. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he goes before he's crucified, he gets himself away to pray and really earnestly asks his disciples to pray, only to know that the flesh was stronger than the spirit at that time in their lives. Prayer is saturated through the whole scriptures. You cannot read the scriptures and not see prayer. So what is prayer? What is prayer? In the simplest thing I could say to you, it's conversation with your Heavenly Father. It's taking the time to engage in a conversation with the one who not only gave his son, but gives of himself freely to us so that we might know him and have fellowship with him. I told Chris earlier this week, I said, some of the things that's said about prayer is some of the most simple statements in Scripture. Some of the most simple statements, but yet so difficult to do. Romans chapter 12, it says, be constant in prayer. Simple. Is it easy to do? Paul says in Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. Simple, a simple statement, without ceasing. I understand that. Is it easy to do? It's not easy to do. Jesus, can you not pray with me for 1 hour? Have you ever tried to pray for 1 hour? It sometimes is a fleshly battle to take place. But we've got to give ourselves to prayer. That's the work. Prayer is the work, the empowerment, the fellowship. That's where we gain so much from our Father to know what his heart is. And we don't pray so that we can change God. We pray so that God changes us. Many examples in Scripture. So let's go on to the slide here. Paul prayed for the Colossians. And I would like you to kind of see your own heart in this. Because as Paul prayed for the Colossians, this is applicable for our lives. He prayed for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will for their lives. How many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but how many of you really want to know God's will for your life? Do you know doing God's will is a whole lot better than not doing God's will? Look at the life of Jonah. That word filled means to be rendered full. And without lack, it's complete. That you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We have to pray to seek the Lord to know exactly what His will is. Knowledge is a precise and correct, it's a divine knowledge. I can't tell you how many times I need God's knowledge to correct me because my thinking is wrong. Early on in my Christian life, I used to think things and only to have some brother come along and teach me and say, that's not what the Scripture teaches. And show me and have my knowledge, my knowing of the Scriptures changed, rightly changed. He prayed that they'd have the spiritual wisdom and understanding. There's wisdom that comes from above and there's a worldly wisdom, James says. And having that wisdom from God that He imparts to us so that we can see the way He sees. Do you think things look a little different up in heaven than it does down here on earth? Do you think God has difficulty seeing things? How about you? We have, in our own ability, we can only see, with the naked eye, we can only see 16 miles because the curvature of the earth then begins to take that out of distance. Did you know that? Do you know that God doesn't have a problem seeing the whole world at one time? So how much more do we need wisdom? I need it all the time. Next slide, please. He prayed that their walk, their life that's being lived out, that they would be in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him. That God's approval, our obedience to Him and His Word. In other words, that their hearts would be looking to the Lord to please the Lord. And it's not that we please Him to gain favor. We please Him out of obedience and love because of what He's done for us. He prayed that their walk would bear fruit in all that they do. I wish that was true in my life. That it would be fruitful, that the fruit of the Spirit would be flowing 24/7, 365 to the rest of my life. If that was the case, my wife wouldn't have got frustrated one time over in Ireland with me. That they would increase in knowing who God is. Do you have a need for that? Do you need to know God in a better way? Or have you got God figured out? If you've got Him figured out, please meet me after the service down here because I really need some understanding and some knowledge and information. Because I don't have Him figured out. I really don't. And you might say, well, why in the world are you an elder? Only because I'm obeying Him. He's asked me to do it. We're told there in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we would grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a process. There's gaining. I can tell you I know the Lord better than I did some time ago. Because He's had to correct me. He's had to change me. Next slide, please. Paul prayed for them that they would be strengthened. Have you ever found yourself in a place or a situation that you feel like you have no more strength to take one more step? I cannot tell you how many times in my life I have faced something that I feel like, God, I cannot do this. Not only do I not want to do it, but I can't do it because I can't find the strength to do this. Whatever it might be. Whether it be loving someone, whether it be taking care of someone, whether it's going through a pain. And my heart goes out to Linda, because back in 1993, I broke the same ankle and had some of the same hardware put in. probably the only benefit between the two of us is I was a lot younger and probably healed a lot faster. I cannot imagine breaking my ankle at the age that I am. I find that if I get a cut, it takes 3 or 4 times to heal than what it did when I was younger. And I found that that time when I broke my ankle and I saw the Lord working in our lives, but there was frustrating. And I said, God, I don't have the strength to go on with this. And as I would cry out to him and pray, and the Lord would show himself to us, all of a sudden I find the grace and the strength that he's provided for me to endure this situation that I'm in with thankfulness and with joy. And that strength that comes unto our lives, that's exactly what he wants to do. Is anything too hard for God to do in your life? The answer has got to be said, nothing is too hard for you, Lord. He can do all things. And then what is one of the promises that Paul says to the Philippians? 4:13. Somebody quote it, please. We can. Why? Because Jesus strengthens us. Lord, I don't know if I can go one more day. Please give me the grace. The next day comes, you got the grace, you're walking it. Lord, I don't know if I can go one more day. See, what that does is causes us to have a total dependence upon the Lord so that he can empower us to accomplish his will. I don't know why it's in us at times to want to be independent and say, God, I got this. I can handle this. He doesn't want that. Not one time does he want that. And he wants us to be able to endure all things with patience and joy. Next slide, please. So Paul gave thanks to God for what God did for them. And I find it fascinating because what God did for them, every one of them is spiritual things. God did unseen things that they couldn't see that God did when they came to Christ. When their understanding and their salvation imparted into their souls and they become believers. He gave thanks that God put his stamp of approval. He qualified them for the inheritance in Christ. What he did is he imparted to them the righteousness that God demanded and made them acceptable before the Lord. He did the same thing to you and I when we came to Christ. When we repented our sins, when we turned. And it's not that we did that. He supplied the grace so that we could do it. Again, it's him. And he qualified. He took them. He said, listen, you're no longer not my child. You're my child. Enter into this kingdom. Enter into this inheritance. Enter into all that I am and all that I've done for you. All that I've supplied for you. He delivered them from the kingdom of darkness. Do you know the kingdom of darkness means there's no light and you can't see anything? It implies evil abounds. Wickedness abounds. And yet we've been translated or we've been brought over to the kingdom of light where there's brightness and beauty. And I see green grass over here, but I'm telling you, over in Ireland, grass is green. It is beautiful. And a lot of it has to do with the moisture that's in the air all year round. How many of you like hydrangeas? I knew Dean would say that. How big? Chris has hydrangeas, and we have them. And our plants are about this big. Okay, that's a pretty big plant. It's a healthy plant. And I found that if it doesn't have enough water, it droops. Flowers fall over. And I could take a bucket, a two-gallon bucket, pour it on there, and the next day, the plant is just vibrant and glowing and beautiful and everything. They have hedges of hydrangea plants. Plants that were even taller than me with flowers. I've got pictures of them. Beautiful. The handiwork of my God knows the benefit there. The people benefit from God supplying them with enough water for beauty. Light, the kingdom of light, seeing things that you've not seen before. In whom the King is God's Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you and me. We're in that kingdom. Our King died for us. Our King gave his life for us so we can have eternal life. He gave thanks. Paul gave thanks. For in his Son we are redeemed and our sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. You have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been purchased. All those things we have to, by faith, see. And God wants us to see them as he reveals them to us. The unseen being made seen. I wonder how many who have read this letter and maybe never heard the concept of some of the things that Paul prayed for, begin to think of the depth and the width and the breadth and the height and all that God did for them and the joy that would well up in them. God did this for me. He did this for us. He even says that when he prays, he says us. That includes him, Paul. So he wasn't just saying, you guys, I'm somebody else or somebody different. He's saying us. God did this for us. So, next slide, please. How's your prayer life? A little bit of a change there. How is your prayer life? How are you praying? Are you entering into prayer? Are you seeing answers to your prayers? I'm standing here this morning because I know people have prayed for me. I came to Jesus because I know people prayed for me. I know it. I know some of those people, and I've had the privilege to be able to go back to them and say, thank you for praying for me. Sometimes we don't always see our prayers answered. We can't stop praying. Are you in a dry season with your prayer life? What does that mean? Feel like you're praying and you're not getting anywhere? You feel like you don't know what to pray or how to pray? Do you find yourself not wanting to pray? I have to confess to you, at that point right there in my life, when I don't want to pray, I usually have sin in my life. Whether it be anger, malice, frustration, discouragement, hatred. When Chris and I are not one, I don't want to pray with her. I don't want to pray for her. And yet God convicts me, draws me to himself to where I have to repent. Then I can pray. Does God seem distant during your prayer? Are you wanting to pray more, but you can't find the time? Within the last maybe 6 months to a year, I've asked the Lord that I want to pray more. And I say last 6 months to a year, I don't know the clear, but God has been slowly waking me up. And I'm a sound sleeper. I'm a hard sleeper. And usually that's the first thing I began to do is pray. And I want to pray about everything. I want to be a man who's given to prayer. I want to pray about everything. Everything. And I say that because I've come to a place in my life where if I do that in my past, because there's been times I'd say, I don't need to pray about this. I'll just, and you know what? It doesn't come out the way God wants it to come out. Because there's not fruit. There's not joy. There's heartache usually. There's frustration or discouragement or loss financially. And so seeing things and growing in this area, we were challenged in Sunday school classroom here a couple of weeks ago by Scott, and he said, have you asked God to help you to pray? What a novel thought. Have you asked God for help? You see, the Holy Spirit, it says, John says that he will come in you and he will be your helper and he'll lead you in all kinds of things. Isn't being led in prayer, wouldn't the Holy Spirit help us? Even though he intercedes for us and makes supplications for us. If he's going to lead us, can't we ask him to lead us in how to pray or help us to pray or to teach us how to pray? I wish I could go back in the moment and know the fullness of all that was going on with the disciples when they came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Part of the discipleship and the heartbeat that we have as elders as we go forward is that we want to walk with people so that they're praying, because that needs to be the foundation of our walk of any type of discipleship. Sad to say, when I came to Christ, I prayed, but I wasn't walked with. And not that I need to be shown how to pray, but to be walking with somebody to pray. Having a prayer partner. Next slide, please. This next one was something that Chris and I discussed a little bit this week. Why do you pray? What's the motivation? Why do you pray? Have you ever asked that question? And Chris, she said, why would you ask that? You know, well, why do you pray? And we had very good dialogue. Do you pray because it's something that you think that you should just do as a Christian? Is it because other Christians pray, therefore you should pray? Or are you praying out of obedience or duty? Do you sense the Holy Spirit wooing you to a sweet hour of prayer or to pray, to enter into prayer? Do you see the benefit of prayer in your own life and you see the benefit in the prayer of others? Our prayers, which was communicated here a couple of weeks ago, our prayers will outlive us. Our prayers can be preventive if we pray ahead of time. I believe, as we're praying, going before we go over to Ireland, I'm praying, God, I don't want to get in an accident. You know, the cost of the car, and there you see all this. If you have a wreck, it's going to be $5,000 plus. And, you know, I got insurance, but still they say insurance doesn't always cost. You know how insurance is, okay? And all this stuff, and I'm just praying before. You see, Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. That's preventative, because that situation didn't occur till a couple days later, and Jesus had already prayed. So we can do that. How are you praying for your kids? How are you praying for your wife? How are you praying for your marriage? How are you praying for the church? Are you praying for the Lord of the harvest? Because the harvest is going to come. We ought to do it out of obedience and love for the Lord. Do you pray because others have asked you to pray for them? I'm going to stop right there because I've been so guilty as an individual, as a believer. I've been so guilty to say, I'll pray for you, walk away 20 feet, and I've done, forgotten, never prayed for you. So what did I do? I lied to them. So now I'm getting in the habit of either writing it down or I'm praying for you right then and there. Which is helping me. It's helping me to pray. And within the last 5 years, I've had a handful of brothers, couple in here. I've said, I've been praying for you. And that brother comes up to me and say, I appreciate you praying for me. Can I ask a question? I said, sure. How? What have you been praying for me about? And that question is, what have I been praying for him about? And each time that has happened, I've been able to share with them very specific how I've prayed for them. And they came back and testified of how God had used that prayer specifically and pointedly. You know what that did for me in my heart, in my faith? It grew. Because my prayer wasn't in vain. My prayer for that individual, that my Father in heaven not only moved upon my heart to pray for that brother, but God used that prayer, not because of me, because of God. I would encourage you, and we're a praying church. We really are. And I'm grateful for that. But I confess to you, I'm not where I want to be in my prayer life. Do you pray? Why do you pray? Is it because you desire to know the Lord? Prayer is that one step closer to just entering into the fellowship, oneness with the Lord. Next slide, please. I came across this yesterday. To me, which confirmed to me the message. Some people pray just to pray, and some people pray to know God. That was confirmation for what God was doing in my heart yesterday. Next slot, next one, please. I came across these quotes this week. Is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? There was a time in my life that was true, that it was my spare tire. Right now, it's my driving wheel. Prayer is not so much as an act as it is an attitude. An attitude of dependency upon God. You see, what prayer does, if we're honest and true, prayer is taking what we're holding in our hand. And Peter says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. It's taking on what is dear to us, what we're hanging on, whether it's our attitudes or frustration, discouragement, all that stuff, and laying it before the Lord and letting him take it and have it. It's getting us, it's putting it back on him. And usually what he does is he doesn't always change all the situation. He changes my heart. Or he doesn't remove me out of the situation. He changes my heart to walk with joy in the situation that I'm in. So my dependency is looking back to him, not so that God would give me a life of comfort, a life of ease, but that I know that I can go to him with utter dependence and know he has my best at heart all the time. Four things let us ever keep in mind. God hears prayer, God heeds prayer, God answers prayer, and God delivers by prayer. He inbounds. Once you've prayed, pray more. Pray, 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 and then pray some more. press into the Lord. Hold fast to seeking Him through prayer. Again, prayer's the work. What's the next one? This picture is a young man at school. School systems just started. 2 years ago, 2017, meet me at the pole, and students are meeting around the pole. This young man goes to meet at the pole. And I saw this. I thought, you know, sometimes, Lord, I feel like this young man, that no one else is there when I pray. But the truth of the Word of God is, God is always there. We can't lose sight of that. God is always there. He's always there. He never sleeps, nor does He slumber. He's always there. And so as this young man showed up at the pole, somebody took a picture of it. And the testimony was, he still prayed. He anticipated people coming, other students coming and praying. But he still prayed. And his prayer in this time was, and I'm not going to tell you his name because that's not important, but his prayer was, God, use this. Use my life. Use me. And God is using this in the heart of a lot of young people. Because the truth is, we're not alone, but we still got to make that commitment to pray. We still got to come to a place to pray. And I think that's the last one, right? Yeah. So where are we at with prayer? Where are you at with prayer? There's a couple things that I'd like to challenge you in. That is, we get prayer sheets every week of people who need prayer. Wednesday nights, we have prayer time. And we don't go down the list and pray about everything that's on the list. The list is there as a tool that, and there's times that we pray down the list and try to cover everything, and sometimes we don't. But the list is there so we could take it with us to still continue to pray. Testimonies. Praying for Ski and Sarah that God might provide the finances for them to go over to Portugal, and God did that. It's an answer of prayer for them specifically. But we also have times that we pray. The women meet on Friday mornings. What time is that you guys meet? 10 o'clock on Friday mornings here at the church. And you can say, well, I don't know how to pray. Those are spiritual giants. I can't go there and try and pray with them late. You know what? Sometimes just getting in and getting your feet wet will be a great thing for you. And I would encourage you, ladies, that if you have that time free to come, it's a good time of fellowship. It's a good time of prayer. Am I right, Gabby? It's a good time of prayer? Yeah. It's a fruitful time. Fruitful time. Men, they pray on Saturday mornings at the Bible study. Opportunities for prayer. But I guess I'd like to challenge you, because what we're trying to do with the home fellowship groups, which we meet tonight, two of the groups do meet tonight, is to try and focus on those times as prayer times. And prayer outreach and prayer connectedness and praying together. And we've had some sweet answers of prayer and sweet times of prayer as we've gotten together in our home fellowships. If you're not part of a home fellowship, I'd encourage you to be part of one. And I would say this, if you don't have a prayer partner right now, if you do not have a prayer partner, somebody that you can be praying with, or somebody that would walk with you in prayer, or somebody that would hold you accountable for prayer, or somebody that would pray for you daily, then please reach out to one of the home group leaders or reach out to one of the elders. And maybe you're at a place and you say, I just need somebody to walk with me in prayer. I'm willing to do that. But I want you to know, I'm not perfect. I don't know. I'm just praying. So I don't have a pattern. I don't have all kinds of different things that I could give to you, but I would walk with you. And I think, and I can't say this for the other elders, but I believe they would do the same thing. That if you reached out to them. Even if you're struggling in your prayer life right now, humble yourself and let the elders know so we can pray for you. I know there's been a couple prayer targets that we focused on and God's done some good things. We pray for you. You are covered in prayer as a body. But we don't want you to feel alone. We don't want you to feel like the young man at the flagpole. God's there, but we as elders also want to walk alongside of you. And there's other people in the body that want to walk. You women, there's other women that want to walk alongside of you. And there's other women that need you to walk alongside them. There's a song, and we'll close, that it's me, Lord, who's standing in the need of prayer. And so I'd like to close this prayer this morning, and the music ministry team will come up. But if you, and I don't want you to stand, I do not want you to stand for the music, but if you feel that, John, I'm at a place right now that I just want to stand and confess to you, and I'm not going to open my eyes here, I'm going to close this in prayer. But you say, I want a better prayer life. I want God to take me, you know. Or if you're just not satisfied with your prayer life, that you want to grow in prayer, I'm going to ask you to humbly stand right now. If you believe that to be true in your heart, would you stand? And I'm going to pray for all of us because I'm standing. I want my prayer. I'm not totally satisfied with my prayer life. I want to grow in this area. And I think that God wants to use these scriptures to help us to grow. So let's pray for a moment here. Father, you know the cry of every one of our hearts. You can see everything. I can't see anything, Lord. I can open my eyes and see people standing. But Lord, you know the cry of their heart. You know right where they're at, and you can meet every one of our needs. And Lord, we would pray that you would do that. We pray that you would teach us to give ourselves more to prayer, that it would not be that spare tire, but it would be the drive-in wheel, that our dependency would be clearly placed upon you because of, Lord, all that you want to do in us and through us. God, we need you. We need you. And Lord, we would ask that you teach us how to pray. We have ideas, thoughts, and we do it, but we just we don't want to come to a place and not pray. So Lord, please do that work in our hearts. We need you to do that. Create in that desire, though. And Lord, some of us might be here this morning that there's been distance in the prayer life. There might be hurt or whatever that might be. I pray that, Father, you would forgive our hearts and our lives because of a prayerlessness. We do want to be people who effectively pray so that we might see you at work. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Lord, we're righteous because of Jesus. Avails much. That's our heartbeat. We can't do that. We need you. So please do that this morning in all of our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name.